Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You are our strength. Lord, I pray right now that you strengthen our inner man with might by the Holy Ghost, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Lord, may you strengthen us unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Lord, I pray for understanding this evening as we look into the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we'll be strengthened the more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a scripture I was reading in Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. Chapter 4, verse 22. I got it. I saw something and it blessed me. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And up to verse 23, it says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Israel is my firstborn. Then it says, "Let my son go, that he may serve me." Hallelujah. First, you know, the two things that came to me, first of all, is he calls Israel his son. Amen. Hallelujah. Israel is his son. And then the next thing is, let my son go that he may serve me. Amen. You know, many times, some of us believers, what we want to hear about being sons only. I am a child of God. I am a heir of God. Hallelujah. It is not about serving. You know, but even when it comes to Israel, first of all, being a son, that is identity. But after the identity gives them what? The responsibility to serve. Hallelujah. But today we are going to talk about the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption. Some Bazungu call it adoption. Hallelujah. It depends from where you come from. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at our sonship. The kind of sonship we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we are going to look at what does salvation mean, especially when it refers to our salvation as sons. Hallelujah. And the focus of today is the spirit of adoption and what it means. Amen. Now, before we go into that, let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We are going to read verse 22. James 1, 22. James 1, 22. It says, "But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Praise the Lord. Verse 23 says, that be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Praise the Lord. The Bible is not telling you not to hear the word. But the instruction is, after you have heard, to be a doer of the word. Praise the Lord. And by the blessing is in hearing and doing. Praise the Lord. Or it is in doing what you have heard. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, whoever hears the word and does not do the word deceives himself. Praise the Lord. That word deceive himself means you are acting besides who you are. Amen. You are acting besides who you are. You're not deceiving God. You're deceiving yourself. So we have many people who deceive themselves. Also me, sometimes I deceive myself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. After I have heard, I don't do. Amen. And in the body of Christ, we have deceived ourselves. We have read scriptures like, go and make disciples. Amen. And we have not done it. We are deceiving ourselves. Or we are acting besides who we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I think a good example also is like, in a drama, you act like a monkey, yet you are what? Yeah? It means you're acting besides who you what? How many have ever acted like Satan, yet you are not? I think, Brother Ivan, you have ever acted. Amen. Pastor Victor has ever acted like Satan. He was acting besides what? Hallelujah. Now, verse 23 still says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Praise the Lord. Now, that word natural face means, it means your face from birth, the way you were born. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it means he is not taking notice of what he saw in a mirror. Amen. You are like a man looking into the mirror and afterwards you forget. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, it means you have not taken notice of what you saw in the mirror. Amen. But I just imagine if you read something and you did it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go. And you did what? Disobedience is when you pray over what God has already commanded you to what? To do. And by the way, many times we have found ourselves in that state where we are praying over what has already been what? Commanded to be done. Amen. Now, in verse 24 it says, for this man beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in everything that he does. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he calls the mirror the perfect law of liberty. You know, and that mirror is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Because actually what he's talking about, when you read it in context, is talking about the word of God. Hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 25, it talks about the law of perfect liberty. Amen. So the word of God is the law of perfect liberty. Praise the Lord. It is the mirror that shows us our natural face, our true identity. The word of God shows you your natural face, your true identity, who you are. Amen. Actually, the law of perfect liberty is, we can also read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of perfect liberty is the same as the law of the what? It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I think also Romans chapter 3, verse 27, is not talking about this other law. Amen. Romans 3:27 says, therefore, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Praise the Lord. So, the perfect law of liberty is the same as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What Christ has done. Praise the Lord. And that's what we need to what? To continue looking into. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, when he says, when we look at the perfect law of liberty, we discover our true identity. We discover who we are. So, when a man hears the gospel and receives the gospel, you have a change of identity. Hallelujah. The person you actually are changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. So you are a new person. When you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel, you know, your identity changes. You become now a new creature. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, when you believe the gospel, there is a change in identity. Praise the Lord. Now, even when that has happened, we need to have accurate information. Praise the Lord. We need to have accurate information about who we are. Praise the Lord. And many times we think we have grasped it actually. But we have not really what? You know, yesterday we were somewhere and this person lost the father. But they fought to convince us that their father received salvation. Amen. So, when the father was dying, he wrote in the paper, I am Catholic. And this person said, I believe at that moment, he did what? He believed the gospel. He interpreted that as what? This, they labored to convince us. But of course the person was grieving. So we also let it pass. So I thought I was the only person who had heard that. So a friend of mine calls me the next day and says, Pastor Ronald, we need to go back to the basics. It says, I was shocked. Say, and I know this brother, he can rebuke you, but the spirit of humility was on him. Yesterday, on Monday, the spirit of humility was on him, so he said nothing. And also I said, if he doesn't say anything, let me also leave it, because I know him. You know, but I was shocked at how this person explained salvation. Amen. So, we need to have accurate information, you know, about who really we are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why in James says that whoever, let's go back, James chapter 1 verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The Bible says he looks into, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. And continues. And does what? And continues. You don't look there once. You continue looking until it is formed in you. Praise the Lord. Many times we look there once. And actually we forget or we lose it. But James is saying that whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, that same man shall be what? Shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Give me John 8:32. Give me 31. Hallelujah. John 8:32. It says, yes. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, if you do what? Continue. I want you to mark that word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, the same shall be blessed in everything they do. Praise the Lord. That's why it is important to keep looking at the perfect law of liberty. You don't just know this truth at once. You keep on what? Looking. Say, keep on looking. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, I believe that's why many times truth is not really cemented in our hearts. Why? Because we don't take time to look and keep on what? Looking. Hallelujah. Say, I keep on looking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the more you look at it, the more accurate you become at what? At it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the more you do something, the more you become an expert in it. Isn't it so? Adingana maworu. Leave that one alone. Sorry. Nae agaja momu kutu. Praise the Lord. So, that's why in Philemon, let's go to Philemon. Philemon 6, it says that the communication of our faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. Amen. The communication, the participation, the sharing of your faith becomes effective. by acknowledging. That word acknowledging is a Greek word epignosis. Say it, epignosis. It means to have a precise and accurate understanding. Accurate information. Accurate understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Philemon has a precise and accurate understanding of silos. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Marino, if you bring in metal fabrication, he can blow your head. He has what? Accurate. Praise the Lord. Amen. A pilot has accurate. I think Pastor Gordon last time told me that if a pilot told you that I read about flying an airplane, you know, and by faith I believe I'm going to fly you from Uganda to America, you will run. Even me, I will run. Hallelujah. So I don't need faith. I need knowledge. You need to know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So sometimes we have accurate information, but we don't have enough what? Information. That's why Philemon is saying that, you know, your faith will become effective to the degree you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ. Say, I am in Christ. There are good things which are in me because I'm in Christ. I told you the believer is in Christ. And he should see himself therein. Now, whatever you see in Christ is what is in you. So what is in Christ is in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you acknowledge. Have we finished epignosis? I love the way it sounds. Epignosis. Amen. So, sometimes we don't have accurate understanding. And because we don't have accurate understanding, our terms, many times we use wrong terms. Praise God. I lie to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. That term is not accurate. You did not give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. You received Christ. Because there was nothing for you to give Christ. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and you are by nature a children of disobedience. Give me that scripture. Ephesians 2. I think let's look at it. Praise the Lord. So, you did not give your life to? Ephesians 2 1. Ephesians 2 1. It says, and you has he made alive, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Give me verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Give me verse 4. But. Say but. Now, he first talks about your former state before you received Christ. Now he's talking about your what? Your current state. He says, but God. Say but God. Who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Hallelujah. Amen. Verse number 8. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. God loved and He did what? He gave. Praise the Lord. You don't give your life to Christ. It is God who gave. Praise the Lord. You are a recipient of what God gave. Say, I am a recipient of what God has given. Praise the Lord. He's the one who gave. He's the one who worked for the salvation. You are a recipient of what God has done in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, we don't give our lives to Christ. We received Christ. Amen. There's another scripture which has knocked me. Give me Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. This one has knocked me. Amen. Galatians 3. Verse 2. First tells them, you foolish Galatians. You remember Pastor Monica taught about, you know, heteros and what? Allos and heteros. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:2. Amen. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Give me an NLT. I think NLT will. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses or of course? By obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. So, believers, we did not give our lives to Christ. We received Christ because we had nothing to give to God. We were dead. Hallelujah. We are alienated from the life of God. Amen. And He made us what? Alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, when your terms are wrong, they reveal what you know. Praise the Lord. Now, when they are also wrong, amen, you will end up worshipping God wrongly. Even the way you talk to people will be wrong. Because you got it wrong. Amen. Like I told you a story, someone was telling us salvation in a different way. In fact, I said, who has bewitched you? Praise the Lord. Who has fascinated you? Who has cast a spell on you? Anya Kuroga. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we don't give our lives to Christ. We receive the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is the one who gave, and we are recipients. Amen. We are recipients. So,
restore. That's why it is very important to use right what? Terms.
Amen.
You know, even the songs you sing, they reveal who you are. You know, do not bypass me, O gentle Savior. Where is he going? Create in me a clean heart. What heart do you have right now? Praise the Lord. Yeah? Tell Pharaoh, I am on my way to Canaan. You know? But the Bible says you are on you have come to Mountain Zion, the city of the living God. And for you are going to Canaan. We are in Zion. For you are going to what? To Canaan. The devil will slap you in Canaan. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please learn the word accurately. Going back to James, you look into it and you keep looking. Amen. The apostles of Jesus also, they were affected because of the kind of information they had. In fact, this is seen, you know, in how they responded to certain things. For example, in fact, some taught that unless you are circumcised, you cannot be born again. Yes. Give me Acts 15. Let me just... You think even the apostles had it all together? No. Peter, the angel first appeared to him for him to go to preach to the Gentiles. Amen. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judah arrived and began to teach the believers, unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Give me verse 2. Paul and Barnabas disagreed. Thank you for giving me even NLT. Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. Finally, the church decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, because also they didn't have accurate information, it affected the way they preached. They refused to go and preach to the Gentiles because of lack of what? Epignosis. Hallelujah. So, that's why it is important to use the right terms. Hallelujah. Getting born again is what God has done. Hallelujah. Now, let's see John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest, except God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must. Jesus is very emphatic and very serious. He said, you, it's not a suggestion. If you're not born again, you'll go to hell. He says, you must. In fact, he said, don't marvel, tewewunya, that you must be born again. Praise the Lord. So, being born again does not mean to be born a second time. Yeah? Doesn't mean what? To be born the second time. It means to be born of the Spirit. In fact, that's why when he talked about born again, Nicodemus asked, can I go into my mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus says, whatever, he said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit. I think we have labored to explain that. That is not meaning two things. Praise the Lord. The water is symbolic of what? Of the Spirit. Amen. So, it's not meaning two things. Because when you go to the next verse, the emphasis is on the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, let's also read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Praise the Lord. Now that word seed is the Greek word sperma. It is where we have the word genes or heredity. It is where you have life. Praise the Lord. So, and the seed there is talking about is the word of God, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible. So, I am born of the word of God, of an incorruptible seed or life of God. Praise the Lord. James 1:18. By the way, as we are learning these things, these are what you teach, what you preach to unbelievers, even believers. Amen. In fact, if you have sat here for quite some time, you know what to tell people. Huh? You know what to tell people. Praise the Lord. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Praise the Lord. So, being born again, we can say a man is born of God. A man is born of the incorruptible seed by the word of God when they believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 14. Now we are going to enter. We are going to what? Romans 8, 14 says, for as many. So when a man is born again, they are born of God and they are born of the Spirit of God. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, actually it should be himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Praise the Lord. verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." I have heard the scripture also being preached that if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not what? A child of God. But if you read the verses before, the Bible is talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. The Spirit of God in man. In fact, give me verse 8. Verse 8 and verse 9 to get context. Huh? It says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Praise the Lord. So, he's talking about the Spirit of God in man. Now, in verse 14, and actually even verse 11, "If the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body." He's in you. I think we have settled that. That a believer has the indwelling of the Spirit. Christianity is the Spirit of God in a man. Divinity in humanity. I have a friend of mine, he has terms. Divinity in humanity, that is the subject of the teaching. It's nice. Hallelujah. So the word led in Greek is ago. Is what? A-G-O-H. It implies someone who bears you on himself, or someone who carries you. Praise the Lord. Someone who bears you. Yeah? Or someone, should I say, who bore you. It is not talking about direction. Praise the Lord. Though a believer with the Spirit of God has direction. But this scripture is not talking about what? Direction. It is still talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. Because if you read the next verse, you'll see the consistency. Verse 15. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Now, I want you to mark also these words. You have received. You have? There is something you did not also receive. You did not receive the spirit of bondage. Hallelujah. Say, bondage ain't mine. Praise the Lord. Bondage ain't yours. I'm practicing for Seattle. Hallelujah. The spirit you have received, you know, is the spirit of adoption. The spirit that makes you a children of God. Hallelujah. Whereby you cry out, Daddy, Daddy. Abba means what? Abba is father. Emphasis. God is your daddy. I mean, there's a song someone used to sing, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I love that song. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, the word children, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Now that word children is to express your what? Your conception. Praise the Lord. So children of God, child of God or child of the Spirit was used for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it had nothing to do with stages. You know, This scripture, there's also sometimes I had people, the way they explained it, it was very deep. It was very deep. Amen. It is the mature sons of God who know how to be led by the Spirit. You know, I have a daughter. She's now 9 months. Yes, 9 months. But she's fully my what? My daughter. Amen. Internally, in fact. Fully my what? And she's a heir. All my children are heirs. Hallelujah. So she doesn't need to grow to become my what? My children. She is my what? So this verse explains what? Our what? Conception. Praise the Lord. That God bore us. We are His children. Amen. In fact, you are not more a child of God than you are. In fact, I'm not even more righteous than what? Than you are. No one is less righteous than the other. Isn't this so? Have you believed the gospel? You are righteous. Hallelujah. You are as righteous as the preacher somewhere you probably admire. You are as righteous as Benihim. Mention them. You know, sometimes believers, we think we are what? Does that man of God even eat? You feel unrighteous. Hallelujah. So, Romans 8:15 says, you have received the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord. Now, when he mentions sons of God, it is important to know what it means. Praise the Lord. It is important to know what it means. And if you want to understand the son you are, you have to first understand about Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the scripture I mentioned previously, Philemon, the communication of your faith may become effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in. Now, if you want to know what is in you, you need to first know what is in Jesus, because you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you want to know the kind of son you are, you need to first know the son who? Jesus. Because you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. So, when we look at Jesus, you will understand what sons really what mean. Hallelujah. Now, John 1:8. John 1:8. And we shall also read John 1:14. John 1:8, it says, he was the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read also verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus is called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. In a very unique way. According to the verses we have read. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to mark the word only begotten Son of God. The Bible calls him what? The only begotten Son of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son of God. Sorry, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this term is majorly used in the four Gospels. When it is used in the epistles, it is used also to refer to the four Gospels. It is called the who? The only begotten Son of God. Mark that one. Praise the Lord. And John is the one who majorly coins this. In fact, you won't see it so much in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in John, John was very deep. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, the word, the only begotten Son of God, is not referring to number. Praise the Lord. It's not referring to what? To number. Actually, the Greek word is monogenes. Is that, brother, the right word? Mono. And mono speaks of one. Praise the Lord. One uniquely born. Praise the Lord. It also means something that is on its own. Praise the Lord. He is uniquely born. Different from the way other people, men are born. Amen. So, Jesus was referred to as the only begotten Son of God. I think John 1:14, we saw that. Now, let's continue to see how John particularly referred Jesus. We have seen that actually he referred to him as the only begotten what? Son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse 20 to 22. Yes. Amen. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by prophet Isaiah, saying that a virgin shall be with child and shall conceive forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Now, in John 1:14, let's also take John 1:14. It says, let's first read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. So what we see in John 1 is God becoming flesh. Praise the Lord. And how did he become flesh? This is what we have seen in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Praise the Lord. In fact, in Matthew, it says the birth of Jesus was on this wise. And then he goes ahead to what? To explain.
Praise the Lord. Now, what the angel said to Mary, the angels were carrying out the prophecies, praise the Lord, of the Old Testament prophets. Major, I think Isaiah, we see this in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Amen.
So, whoever the angel was referring to did not first exist in the womb of Mary. Praise the Lord. The word becoming, the word coming to the womb of Mary is the Son, even though He is God. Remember, in John 1 says, in the beginning, the word was, and then in 14 says, and the word was made, and we beheld His glory. So that word did not first exist in the womb of what? Mary. Praise the Lord. It existed what? Before. That word is the one which became flesh. God became flesh. Praise the Lord. I think that's what Matthew says, God with us. God with us means God in the flesh. He's talking about the incarnation. Hallelujah. So, we see that Jesus was called the Son of God at incarnation. Was called the Son of God where? When He became a man. He is the Son of God. I want you also to remember that He is uniquely born. He is the only begotten. So He is called the Son of God at incarnation. Praise the Lord. So, the word Son of God is also used again for Jesus upon His resurrection. The word Son of God is also used for Jesus at His resurrection. At His incarnation is called the only begotten. Praise the Lord. Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Praise the Lord. So we see He was begotten at incarnation, but was also what? Begotten at the resurrection. Are we together? Huh? Hallelujah. Let's read Acts chapter 13 verse 3. Acts 13, 33 to 34. It says, God has fulfilled the same unto their children in that He has raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give thee the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. So, we have seen that in the womb of Mary, He is begotten. The Word became flesh. But also in the resurrection, praise the Lord, He is also what? Begotten. Amen. Thou art my Son. In verse 34 of Acts 13. Acts 13, 33. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Praise the Lord. And this was the prophecy of Psalm 2:7. Praise the Lord. So we see that Jesus was begotten both at the incarnation. God became. But He is also begotten at resurrection. Hallelujah. At incarnation, the only begotten. At resurrection, He is the first begotten from the dead. He was born twice. Tulifembi. The only begotten means is the only one. By the no one was the Son of God until Jesus what? Rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead, he became the prototokos. Tell your neighbor the prototokos. Prototype. Hallelujah. You make this phone, you test it, it works properly, and then after making it, you make other phones which look the what? The same. Praise the Lord. So when you talk about firstborn, there is no secondborn. There is no a million born. Hallelujah. We follow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, he is begotten at both incarnation and resurrection. And these two times, he is called the Son of God. Do you know the difference? Both times, he is called the Son of God. At his incarnation, he is called the only begotten Son of God. At resurrection, he is called the first begotten. Amen. That's why when he rose from the dead, you became now what? Let me go ahead a bit. Give me Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews 2:11. Both he that sanctifieth. And they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, why is the term only begotten used for him back in John 1:14? Only begotten means his conception being of God and not him being a singular what? Son. Praise the Lord. Only begotten. It means him being born of God. He's not talking about him being what? A singular person. Because if you say being born a singular person means that there will be another one. You know? So, this rather refers to his incarnation and not the number of sons. Because he is from God. He came from God. Now, this talks about his deity. Is it called deity? Deity. Deity means what? Yeah? God man. Oh man, God. Deity. His. Should I say totality? But you know, it is also very. It is a very strong doctrine we hold on to that Jesus came in the flesh. If any man does not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, is not of God. Yeah? God incarnate. Because if you don't believe that, it means you don't believe in the salvation. Because for the salvation to be possible, he had to become what? Man to die. That's why it is talking about in Matthew. That she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Which means what? God with us. Why did he come? To save us from our sins. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. So if you don't believe that Jesus is not coming in the flesh, you don't believe in the salvation. It's not spiritual. Praise the Lord. So, we have looked at the word begotten, that it is not used for number, it is used for what? For his incarnation. And we say that it refers to his uniqueness. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something. Let's first look at also 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The scripture, I gave it to a Jehovah's Witness. He said, Jesus is not God. And then I said, you bring the Bible of the Jehovah's Witness. And then we started. And without what? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Nemugamba, Bikako Bible. Jesus is God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into what? That one, I've given it for free. It is for the Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is not God. You give them that what? You tell them even to read their Bibles. Because it is changed. But tell them, read in yours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, let's look at John 4:9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I told you that in the epistles, they were still referring to the what? To the four gospels. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus is called the only begotten, the Son of God, because he came from God. All men came from men, but Jesus himself came from what? God. That's why he's called the only begotten Son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, in John 1:14, there's the word Father. Praise the Lord. John 1:14. Says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. Now he introduces us to us the aspect of the Father. Jesus was the first person to call God Father. No one in the Bible, read the whole Bible in the Old Testament, no one ever called God Father. It is Jesus who was the first person to call God Father. Praise the Lord. Now, the word Father has to do with where men come from. It means source. It means their parentage. Amen. So, Jesus is the only begotten of God and is right to call God his Father because he is begotten of who? Of God. Praise the Lord. Now, many times Jesus talks to his disciples and he would tell them, you know, your Father or my Father or our Father. Praise the Lord. Now, he was talking to his disciples about his Father, but telling them that he is their Father. In fact, when they asked him, teach us how to pray, he said, you say our Father. Praise the Lord. But how does God become your Father? Because no one was fathered by God until Jesus rose from the dead. Because if you called God your father, it meant that you are a son. And we know that also before Jesus' resurrection, he is the monogenes. He is the only son of God. Praise the Lord. But here he is telling them, I go. Okay. You know? And actually, John used that word so much. Actually, for him, he used the word our father or my father, if I'm not mistaken. He uses my father. Praise the Lord in John. Hallelujah. Actually, let's look at John chapter 20, verse 17. John 20, verse 17. I don't have it here. Jesus says unto her after his resurrection, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Praise the Lord. What did he mean when he says, my Father and your Father? Praise the Lord. Now, every time he used your Father, it is used in a passive what? Passive way. Praise the Lord. Actually, John is among the four writers of the gospel. John was more, allow me to use the word deeper. He had more insight into the new creation or into salvation. Praise the Lord. In fact, he's one of the people who explains about salvation than all the other three. And about the Spirit of God. He talks about actually the indwelling of the Spirit of God. What God was going to do. Hallelujah. That's why actually I think the evangelist would say, first read the book of John. Probably you would find salvation much more easier than what? Than reading the genealogies of Matthew and so begat you. You know? Praise the Lord. So, Jesus' use of the term our Father, praise the Lord, or their Father, you know, he used it in a futuristic sense. Something that was going to happen after he is risen. Amen. So, and when he's talking to his disciples, by the way, he talked to his disciples on that. He is talking to them because they had believed in what? In him. Not believed in his resurrection, but in his incarnation. For as many as received him, he gave them the what? The right. Now, a believer, you know, you don't get a right to become a child of God, for you are born of God. For them, they believed in his incarnation. Hallelujah. He's there, they are seeing him. But for you, you are born of God. You are born again. You don't just have what? A right to become. You are born. There's a difference. The Bible says, you are of God, little children. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So John is using the word Father, you know, in a futuristic what? Sense. Praise the Lord. That's why it's, and in an active way, by the way, it says, our Father, who art in. In fact, someone recently asked me about the certain translation. Ah! And I checked. Yeah, I got the answer. Praise the Lord. Amen. We shall not go through John 8. Actually, John, let's read just John 8, 50, 50, 56. John 8:56. Your father, now he's talking to them still. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Abraham did not see it. But what he saw at Mountain Moriah, you know, actually pointed him to the redemptive work of Christ. But actually Abraham did not see Christ what? Physically. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, even though he was not in the dispensation, you know, yet, Abraham, though he was not in that dispensation, yet he what? He saw it. By the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And that thing he saw, it pointed to who? To Jesus. Amen. Now, from what we said here, not everybody, you know, is called what? A child of God, except those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus talked of God being his what? His Father, because he's born of God. Amen. In fact, he told, now, there are two also bones. There are two what? The devil also has children. The devil also has what? Sometimes it is hard to swallow. But Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. You cannot be in the middle. You are either son of God or the son of what? But God has sent us to the children of the what? To preach to them the gospel such that they become children of? Hallelujah. So, Jesus in the four gospels, he was the only one qualified, you know, to be called the Son of God, and he called God his Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, God is his Father because he's born of God. Even you, God is your Father because you're born of what? Hallelujah. Say, God is my Father. Now, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 15 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. Now, the word son in the Greek there is, she was. It is what? Say, she was. It is used for a perfect mature son, a full son, and a perfect what? A perfect son. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the meaning of the word adoption? Praise the Lord. Now, Paul is the one who uses this word adoption. Amen. Mostly. Actually, when you read in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, you know, you'll see this word used by Apostle Paul. Praise the Lord. Now, we have already said that that to be called the Son of God, you have to be born of God. Praise the Lord. Now, when Apostle Paul writes and uses this concept, there's some truth he wants to bring out about what? A believer. Amen. Should I explain adoption? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4. Let me start from verse 4. But it should be Galatians 4 from 1 up to 7. It says, let's read together. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying out, Abba Father. Therefore, they are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that word adoption is a Roman terminology. It is what? Now, the term adoption is not the way it is used nowadays. The adoption then was very, very serious. Was very serious. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the Latin word for adoption, God help me, is patria, potestia. Hallelujah. That is the Latin. Forgive me. Now, this adoption is where the original father, I mean this word, is where the original father of the child. Sorry. No, this is the Latin word. Now, the way the adoption was carried out is that the original father of the son called the patria. It's called what? The patria had power over his son. You know? In fact, in ancient Rome, the father had too much power and he could do anything he wanted with the son. In fact, he would even kill the son. Even when the son got married, you know, the son was not independent of the father. The father still had what? A say. Hallelujah. For us these days, the father, Taina Chakolachi, Agambachi, Lamure Uwo. Praise the Lord. So, he had a lot of what? A lot of say. Praise the Lord. Now, the word adoption was used to secure assets. It was used to do what? To secure assets. Someone approaches the patria, you know, or the father to the son, who is going to be what? Or who wants, I mean, a rich man goes to the father of the son, whom he wants to be what? To adopt. And then he says to him, I have property. I have money. I have an estate. Yeah? Actually, it is normally the rich people who adopted. Praise the Lord. Because we say the word adoption is used to secure what? Assets. So he's a rich man. He comes to the father of the boy and he tells him, I have property. I have money. I have what? Estate. And I need what? A heir who will take care of my assets. I need someone to adopt me. So when Paul uses the word adoption, he is always talking about what? Inheritance. Praise the Lord. It had to do with assets. So, this man goes to the parent, or called the patria, who has absolute power, and they begin to negotiate. And the negotiation actually takes what? This. You know? They make it what? They prolong it to make it more serious. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there's also a form of what? Ceremony. Praise the Lord. You know? And after they have negotiated, praise the Lord, then, and they have agreed, and he has paid the what? The price for the adoption. Hallelujah. After all that is done, then his fatherhood is broken off that what? That child. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, it is broken. Now he's no longer his what? His son. Praise the Lord.
Now, after that,
they also do what? The second thing they do is now they go to the magistrate. Praise the Lord. And now legally transfer the son to another family. Yeah.
Now,
it becomes a record when the boy is transferred.
Now, you have no claim. Even the name is changed. And it is a crime to call that what? That person who has been adopted by their former.
It is a, you know, these days people adopt and then people still what? Victimize what?
But for them, it is a crime.
Praise the Lord.
When the boy is adopted, they give him a new name. He's put in a new what? Family. He is not referred to what? To his former family. Whatever was in his family, he leaves it what? Behind.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that what happens to believers? You are a new creation. You never exist. In fact, that adoption is like you never what? Existed. Your past is what? Erased.
Praise the Lord.
You are now a child in that what? Family, and you have equal rights.
It was serious. You call him another name, they will imprison you.
Praise the Lord. Even you, the parent where he came from, you, in fact, they cut all ties.
Now, four things happen when this was done. You lose all your rights in the former family. You can never go back. It's an eternal decree. You cannot go back.
You are now the heir of a new family. You become a heir of the new family.
Hallelujah.
You have the estates are given to what? To you. Whatever belongs to that family belongs to you. The next thing, the old life is completely erased. No reference to the past. You are a new creation.
I'm going ahead of me.
Hallelujah. Now, the first thing, you are now in the new family with a new father, a new inheritance. Everything is what?
Praise the Lord.
So, you cannot have, that's why in Galatians 4:4, it says, therefore, thou art no more.
4:4. I don't have it here. Give me 4:4. Galatians 4:4. I'm finishing.
Hallelujah. Do you understand adoption? It was so serious.
Leave alone this adoption these days.
It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the what?
Give me verse 5.
To do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you cannot have adoption without what?
Redemption.
Praise the Lord. What is redemption?
Redemption means the price what? Paid. What was the price that was paid?
The blood of Jesus. The Bible says, you were bought at a price.
Hallelujah. So, there must be a price that will be paid to redeem them that were under the law. Now, all the records where you were taken out. You will never again turn back to where you are. Why? Because there was a real transaction. Something was paid.
Praise the Lord.
Now, in coming back home, Jesus is our real what? Redemption for our adoption. Praise the Lord. You are now in the new family. Praise the Lord. You are now a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. There is no record to your former what? Family. You are a child of the new family. You are a new creature. Praise the Lord. You cannot identify anymore to the old family. Praise the Lord. You are now in the new family. You have rights in the new family. You have privileges in the new family. Praise the Lord. Because the transaction has been what? Has been done. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul says that now we have to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the spirit of what? Adoption as sons. So the spirit of adoption, by the spirit of adoption, we are possessors of a person. We are possessors of inheritance. Praise the Lord. So everything that Jesus is ours. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet. Praise the Lord. You are a child of God. You have received the adoption of sons. You are no longer a slave. Hallelujah. That is adoption. Brother Ivan, that is what? Adoption. No wonder the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. Give me Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Verse 17. Now, if we be what? Children. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. What Christ has, joint heir means, doesn't mean 50-50. It means what Christ has, I also what? Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Begin to say certain things about who you are. You are a child of God. You have received the spirit of adoption, where you cry out, Abba Father. God is now your father. You cannot be identified to your former family. You have been now brought into a new family. It is the family of God. The family of God. You bear the family name. The name of Jesus Christ. Jele makata katam.